Good morning, everyone. What a privilege and a pleasure it is for me to, get to be here with all of you. This is my first time in your country, and I am honored to get to be here. Forgive me, I'm preaching from notes on paper because I, like a genius, left my iPad in the United States. And I hope that's the worst thing that happens on this trip. But there we go. I feel so honored to be here. Happy Father's Day to all of you dads, and for all of you who are with your dad. I just want to echo before I open the text of Scripture with you, my sincerest and most heartfelt condolences to you as a church family and those of you who are watching online for the loss of Pastor Timothy. I got to spend time with him at different moments throughout my experience as an Every Nation pastor, and most recently was about a year ago, and just came to deeply admire him, and of course he was the one who invited me to come in here and come and share with you the next time I was in the neighborhood, which is how he referred to Asia. All of Asia is the neighborhood, and I feel deeply honored to be here, and wish to express my heartfelt thanks to him and my deepest condolences to you. I am, however, maybe one of the greatest honors I can give to a man in his absence is the quality of his leadership when he's no longer present. And I can see greatness in your congregation, greatness in your leaders, and greatness in you. And I am eager and excited to see all of the amazing things that God does through this spiritual family, through this house, for your country, and for this region. And so, thank you for having me. Today we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark, and so if you have a Bible, you can turn or scroll or click or something to the Gospel of Mark. And if you don't have a Bible, I'm sure the text will be on the screen in just a moment. As you're getting there, I'd like to introduce my family to you. Some of them are here. One of them is here with me in the teen service across the way. This is my family. My wife, Hope. We've been married for 20 years, 20 plus. I know you're thinking, but you look so young and handsome. How's that possible? I got married when I was 4 years old. Hope and I met in math class in high school. She got an A because she was in the front row, and I got a C because I was behind her paying attention to her and not the teacher. But all's well that ends well. We finished university and got married a week later, and we immediately started making disciples the old-fashioned way. So this is my oldest daughter, Alana. She just graduated from high school and will be starting in university in the fall. Her younger sister, Nora, is an exceptionally gifted artist and will be going to university the next year. This is my son, Cole, who's with me. Cole is a man who knows more about the Boston Red Sox baseball team than I know about anything. And he also plays, he plays for the Boston Youth Symphony Orchestra as a violinist, but don't tell his baseball friends that he's a music nerd. Okay, we'll keep it between us. And then my youngest son, his name is Wyatt, and Wyatt is wild. he's crazy. He's a lot of fun. It's going to be a couple of years before I can put him on an international flight and bring him anywhere. But when one day I hope to introduce you to him. He also plays cello. All of my children are musical and stuff like that. And it's just a delight to get to be a dad for them. And it's quite apropos, therefore, that I would be, you know, introducing them to you and doing so on Father's Day. Now, on Father's Day, what do you preach? Now, I know what some of you dads want. You're like, I hope what you'll preach is to my family about how they should honor their dad, right? Sorry, dads, that's not what I've got in store for you today. Today, instead, what I'd like to do is help you fathers. I've got a message for you, and for those of you who aren't dads in the room, what I have is a message for how you can encourage and come alongside these guys who are bearing on their shoulders more than they often let on, who are carrying more than they often care to talk about, and trying to do so faithfully. So, if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to read the text of Scripture. We'll be in Mark chapter 5. I'll read verses 21 to 24 in the English Standard Version. I'll pray, and then God is going to speak to us through his holy, inerrant, authoritative, powerful, and good word. Right? Here we go. Let's read. Mark chapter 5 says this, "And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him as he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live.' And he went with him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, please help us as we study the scriptures. Would you speak to us? Speak to us, God, through the text of your word. Speak to us by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that inspired Mark to write these words. Thank you that you are here with us now, Holy Spirit, to open our eyes, to soften our hearts, and to unstop our ears, to see, Lord, that when dads carry their children to Jesus, Jesus can do great, amazing, and mighty things. Amen. Can I ask that you would throw that picture back up of my family? When I became a dad, I was terrified. Terrified. I was also very tired, but I was terrified because I realized that we'd been given this child and we couldn't give her back. Like, they really don't like that when you give them back. And that now I had to figure out, what do I do with this person? And my first two children are my daughters. And so I'm talking to other dads of daughters like, hey, I don't know how to do that. Tell me, what does it mean to raise daughters? What should I do as a dad? How should I model? How do I date them? How do I help them? And then along comes my son. And I really didn't understand because I didn't know how to raise a young man. That was new to me. I had these girls and I was just overwhelmed with the sense of responsibility. Now, I'm quite an achiever. I'm high D on the DISC test. I'm an ENTJ, if you like Myers-Briggs. I'm an 8 on the Enneagram, if you believe in that stuff. Anything. I'm the kind of guy who, if you give me a list, I want to accomplish everything on the list and make a new list and get those things done, too. I run very hot and fast, and I like to get things done. So when it came time for me to be a dad, I wanted to try my very best. But over the years, sometimes I failed. Sometimes I would get angry and become too impatient. Many times I would find myself resenting my children in my heart because I wanted to do something else and my responsibilities required that I be somewhere else. And I would find myself this strange desire in myself to be, on the one hand, a better dad than I was, on the other hand, not quite as good as I had hoped to be. Maybe some of you can identify with this morning. Maybe some of you fathers in here know what it is like to feel like, I don't know what to do with all this responsibility. Or maybe you're worried that you'll not be the dad that you should be. Or maybe you feel like you're trying your very best and it's not having all of the effect that you want. I've got great news for you. That as dads, if we can do one thing, God will take care of the rest. And it's this: if we will carry Christ to our kids, then Christ will honestly take care of everything else. That's the big idea that I want to give you today, is simply this. If godly dads bring Christ to their kids can rise and serve him. When we godly parents bring Christ to our kids can rise and serve him. And I'm getting this from this particular story because I see in Jairus some really, really good stuff. Now, Jairus only shows up very briefly, and the point of the story that we usually get out of it is like, oh, Jesus can heal, and that's true, he can. But look at this guy. I think if we'll look at this guy a little bit this morning, we'll find great encouragement for ourselves and the message that if we can carry Christ to our children, then Jesus will take care of them and raise them and heal them in ways that we, in all of our anxiety and all of our efforts, cannot do for ourselves. So let's take this idea and let's break it in half. When godly dads bring Christ to our kids, this whole idea and what we see here in Jairus presupposes that dads are working really hard to be godly. The dads are working really hard to be godly. In the text, we read this. When Jesus crossed the river, this man, a ruler of the synagogue named Jairus by name, saw him and came out of the synagogue and came to Jesus. So here's what we know about Jairus. He's a God-fearer. He's a ruler of the synagogue. He's someone who has spent time studying the text of Holy Scripture. He's someone engaged in doing the things that a godly man should be doing. He's also got his ear open to whatever God is doing in the moment, because there were many rulers of the synagogue and there were many people that were big in the Jewish leadership of that day who rejected Jesus, but not this man. Not this man. He wasn't just a good man, a good guy doing his responsibilities, taking care of his family, bringing home the bacon and all of that good stuff. He was a good guy who was a godly man with his eyes on God, with his eyes on God. Gentlemen, one of the best things that you can give to your children is your love for Jesus. One of the best things that you can give to your children is your love for Jesus. You will make mistakes. And with those four beautiful people that I just showed you, those children of mine, I have made plenty. I've thought about writing a book about it, but it would be a multi-volume book. And that's a lot of work. But if I will take seriously my privilege and my job and my role of pursuing Christ, Christ will take care of the rest. If you, gentlemen, will take seriously your being a man of the word, like Jairus was a man of the word, then God will take care of the rest. Notice he's not only a man of the word, but he's a man of the word ready to humble himself in the face of a situation that he cannot handle. We don't have time for it right now, and it would not be fully appropriate, but all of those children on that screen that I just showed you, they've all walked through some very difficult stuff, some of them way more than others. And I have found myself many times on my knees before King Jesus going, God, I have no idea how to help them. It feels like one of them is just about to die, just like Jairus' daughter, and I don't know what to do. What we notice about Jairus is that he's not just a good man and he's not just a godly man, but he's a humble man. He sees Jesus and he comes to Jesus and implored him earnestly. Now, when you read the Bible in English, sometimes it sanitizes the language behind the translation, the ancient Greek. But in ancient Greek, implored him earnestly means he's like begging him with everything inside of him. He's coming up to Jesus. He's let go of dignity. He's let go of propriety. He's let go of cultural, like, normalcy. He's grabbing Jesus and saying, please, 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 Jesus, my daughter's gonna die. I know you can heal her. Gentlemen, when godly dads bring Christ to their kids, it happens from our own godliness and from our own pleading with Jesus in prayer, pleading with God in prayer. One of my children, for many, many years, faced an illness that we simply could not get healing from. For years and years, this illness, it hit our family and it rocked us incredibly hard. And there was a period in there where every day I would fast for all or part of the day for a year and a half. The only thing I knew to do. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray. And God may say, no, I'm not going to heal her, but it's not going to be because I didn't ask with faith. It's going to be because he said, no, this is just not my will. Gentlemen, we must be the kind of men that carry Christ to our kids by humbling ourselves before him and pleading with him for his presence in our lives, pleading with him for his presence in our marriages, pleading with him for his presence in our homes and in our jobs and in the ways in which we work. Now you say, but I don't know that I've got, you know, I'm not a pastor like you, Adam. I don't know how to, that's not what I said. You don't need to study the scriptures professionally. You don't need to have been following Jesus for a really long time. You just have to love him and plead with him to come to your children. Some of you in the room no doubt know what it's like to be in the kind of situation where you are humbled by desperation. Do you know what I mean? Some situation in your life is so difficult and so hard that you have no choice but to hit your knees and hit your face on the ground and go, God, you've got to do something or nothing will be done. But all of us should learn to pray as those desperate, because here's the reality, dads and moms, unless Jesus does a miracle in our children won't serve him. Unless Jesus does a miracle in our kids won't rise from spiritual death and serve him. God has to come by his own hand and work in their hearts, and it is our job to facilitate that. But frustratingly, we can't make it happen. I have read the Bible to my children for years. I have prayed for them for years. We have homeschooled them. We have done lots right. But unless they have their own encounter with the living and holy God, it won't happen. God's got to do that. You can parent as well as you possibly want to. But unless God does a miracle, no one comes to faith in Jesus. Every time someone comes to faith in Christ, it's because God has from heaven done something supernatural into the dead, hard heart of a sinner so that we might turn and trust in Jesus. And in this moment of Jairus pleading for the healing of his daughter, he understands, I've got to bring Christ to my kid. Jesus, you have to come into my home and heal my child or my child won't be healed. Gentlemen, this is our calling. It is our privilege to bring Christ to his children. And so Jairus prayed, in a manner of speaking. He beseeched Jesus. He came to him with humility and with desperation and said, I need you to come into my life, which is exactly the point that I've been making. Our kids are spiritually dead until they have an encounter with Christ, and they must have one. Now you maybe say, oh, Pastor Adam, that's harsh, spiritually dead. Those aren't my words. That's Ephesians 2. 1, 2, and 3, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins and in the ways in which you once walked, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once walked. All of us start off like this, hard-hearted and dead to God and alive to sin, and we must see Jesus do a miracle in every person's life. Jesus doesn't have grandkids, you know. God the Father doesn't have grandkids just because I might be godly, it doesn't mean my children will necessarily be. God has to do something in their lives, right? Oh, my friends, don't just assume. Please don't just assume because you have a Christian home or because you took them to church, even a really great church like this one, or because they sang beautifully on the stage. And wow, they really did. I've got to, wow, want to upgrade my kids' church now. We can't just assume because we're doing the right things that it's going to work out in the right way. Jesus must move powerfully. What does this mean? How do we carry Christ into our homes? Through prayer, through the word, through consistency, through the culture that we create in our homes, through humility, and through repentance. Gentlemen, I got to say, some of the most powerful moments I've ever had with my kids is when I got down on their knee, on my knees, and I looked at them in the eye, and I said, hey, Dad has sinned against you. I got too angry, or I got too frustrated, and I need Jesus just like you do. I need Jesus to forgive my sins just like you do. I need the gospel just like you do. I need the power of Christ in my life just like you do. And so I'm going to pray right now and ask Jesus for help, and I hope you'll do that one day too. Some of those powerful moments I've ever had with my kids are all these moments where even in our failures and our stumbling, we can bring Christ to our children, because when godly dads bring Christ to our kids will rise up and serve Christ. Jairus made Jesus welcome in his home. He made a space for him, a time for him. And dads, we get to do the same kinds of things. I wonder, gentlemen, if this year, just on this Father's Day, what if today was the day that you decided to set some patterns in your home? Here's some patterns that I set early on. Every night, my kids and I, we have special time. From the ages of, you know, when they're really little, to about the age of 10 or 11, special time means me and them, we're reading the Bible, and we're just talking. Now, it starts, of course, with the kids' Bible. I don't, you know, open my Bible and read them, you know, Leviticus. That's not a way to help your children. Working through them, just talking with them. Special moment, me and you and Jesus. That's who's hanging out right now. We made these rituals. When our kids turned 13, we had this kind of celebration, coming of age, this cross ring that you see in my hand. We would give them one. We would charge them. We'd pray for them. When our kids turn another age, it's another kind of milestone. Like, we've set up some patterns and some habits. Dads, you know you can do that, right? You can decide. We're going to have family devotionals. We're going to worship in this house. We're going to set some patterns so that they see mom and dad serving Jesus, and so that they'll know how to do it too when they grow up. These are ways that you can actually do this, because when godly dads bring Christ to their kids will rise up and serve Christ. So let's get back to this text. He says this, Jairus by name saw Jesus. He fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he went with them. Now, some of you who are more familiar with the Bible know that immediately after this, on his way to go heal Jairus' daughter, this other woman came out of nowhere, and she had an issue of blood, and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was healed. So nod at me if you're familiar with that story. Mark, just fun little Bible fact, Mark does these story sandwiches all the time where he'll start a story and then interrupt the story with another story and then finish the story. He does this over and over and over again in his gospel. And so once that healing is done, Jesus turns and begins to go with Jairus again. And one of Jairus' servants comes and says, you know what? It's too late. It's too late. She's died. This woman got in the way, is kind of the implication. If it wasn't for her, it's not going to work. Some of you guys and some of you moms have maybe hit a situation where, okay, Pastor Adam, look, I've humbled myself. I've prayed. I've worked really hard to bring Christ to my kids, but it's too late. They're too old. They're too far gone. Something bad has happened, and it's just not going to work. And what does Jesus say? If you scroll all the way down to the end of the story, what does Jesus say? He says, well, I guess that's true. We should probably give up. I'll just go home early. No, that's not what Jesus says. He says, she's not dead. Don't fear, only believe. Oh, gentlemen, don't fear, but only believe. Because when godly dads bring Christ into their home, Christ into their lives, and Christ their kids, Jesus is always faithful to you. There is not one act of faithfulness that Jesus does that you do for Jesus that Jesus will not honor for you. Did you hear me? There's not one act of faithfulness that you will do for Christ that he will not honor in your stead, that he will not do for you. And so Jesus comes to this girl who is in fact dead and raises her up from death. He says, little girl, arise. And immediately the girl got up and was walking, and everyone was overcome with amazement. Maybe some of you in here, you have a wayward child, and maybe it feels like it's too late. I just want you to know it's not. it's not. Jesus can raise the dead. And I feel like if you can raise the dead, everything else is sort of a junior varsity miracle under that. Like if Jesus can do this, man, what can he do in my home? What can he do in your life? What can he do around your dinner table? That picture of my family, as I said, I was really scared to raise my children. I was really scared to become a dad. But I can here testify to you that after years of trusting God with my kids, God has always been faithful to help them, to come alongside them, to renew them and to restore them. We have seen God do amazing miracles in our homes, and I am here to tell you that Jesus can do amazing miracles in your home. Because when godly dads bring Christ to their kids can rise up and serve him, which is exactly what this young girl did. Dads, my first admonition is to you. Your job, your privilege, your high calling is to be the priests of your home, the pastors of your little church right there. Maybe some of you in here, you're not dads yet. You're like, what's that going to be like? It's a calling to be a little priest, a pastor right here. Make it your business every day to bring Christ to your kids. Just like Jairus grabbed Jesus and said, you got to come with me. Dads, my second admonition to you is this. Some of you, before you can bring Christ to your kids, need to come humbly to Christ yourself. You need to come humbly to Christ yourself. Maybe you're like, I'm a good man. Like I work hard and like I try, but you know, and maybe today you were brought to church just because it seemed like a nice thing to do on a Father's Day. I want to encourage you today. Jesus would love to rescue you. He would love to save you. He would love to heal you. He would love to restore you. He would love to so fill you with his presence that you bear his very name and nature everywhere that you go, including when you go home. And today is the day that many of you might need to come and put your faith in Jesus. For those of you in the room who aren't dads, can I ask you to do me a favor this year between this Father's Day and next one? Encourage those guys. Encourage the dads in your life. Help them when they're trying to make an effort, even if it's not very good. Cheer them on, mom. If he's trying to pray for the kids and you're like, oh, this is a little clunky again. I'm not really sure if I like this particular book. I mean, I would do it differently. No, no, don't. Just encourage him. Man, when my wife encourages me, I don't know what you men are like. With one word of encouragement from her, I feel like I can leap over a tall building in a single bound, man. I feel like Superman. There's nothing I can't do when my wife is encouraging me. I want to encourage you. Help him. There's a third group in here I want to encourage today. Maybe for you today, Father's Day is hard. And Father's Day is hard because of a challenging relationship with your dad, or maybe dad is no longer here with you. The Bible says that we should comfort one another with the comfort we ourselves have received. Jesus comforted Jairus. He didn't just help him, but he said, it's gonna be okay. I'm gonna come with you. And for those of you in here that are in that third group, maybe just the very presence of Jesus is what you need this morning, to be reminded that God is with you and cares for you no matter what it is that you are facing. And if you're not yet a Christian in here, maybe you're here just visiting. Someone promised you a delicious lunch if you would just come to church with them. Christianity is not fundamentally about the performance of roles. It's not about being a good dad or a good mom or even a good person. Christianity is about the grace and mercy of Jesus. Come to love and forgive those who have failed in their roles, failed to be good dads or moms. Today, I want to invite those of you, maybe who never have, and you're checking out Christianity, you're considering it, to come and put your faith in Christ for the very first time. To come and trust the one who healed Jairus' daughter and who, through his death and resurrection, wishes to heal you too. The one who by grace helped Jairus when he humbly sought him, that you, if you would humbly seek him, might be helped by him too. The one who, when everything looked like it was all falling apart and no one could raise this one from the dead, Jesus himself raised her, and he himself was raised too, so that you, no matter who you are or where you are or what you've done, might be healed and raised as well. Father, we thank you for the great gift of fatherhood. We thank you for the great gift of the men of this church. I pray first, Lord, for the dads here, that they would be blessed. God, that they would be filled with your presence and your spirit and your encouragement to, even in the face of challenge, keep going, keep trusting, keep fighting, keep believing, and keep bringing Christ to their children. Father, I pray for my friends in here who aren't yet followers of Jesus, that you would move on their hearts and draw them close to you. And Lord, that this house would be marked by great men, great fathers, great leaders who raise great families to do great things for a great and mighty Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.